Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumbleberry Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, Renty Educator, recognised for service with a prestigious award. We're going to catch up with the recipient there, that's Cheryl Edwards, and she's been Aboriginal Educator Officer at the Acacia Hill School for 15 years and more as well. On the line, Cheryl, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you going?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
All right. My name is Cheryl Edwards. I'm an Aranda woman, so I'm born and raised in Alice Springs, which is Aranda country. My grandfather's mother and that are recognised as traditional custodians of Alice Springs. My mother is the third eldest of 10 children. Come from a very large local family.
Strong, strong black family too, Daily Sister. Like I said, congratulations regarding your recognised for service with a prestigious award. So tell us about the work that you're doing. You did 15 years at Acacia Hill School and you're doing continuing that on at another school, is that right?
Yes, I've been and currently am at Acacia Hill School and have been here for nearly 15 years. Prior to coming across to Acacia Hill School, I was at Bradshaw Primary School in the same position for approximately 7 years.
All right, too, Deadly. And just talk about some of the delivery when you're teaching. We're talking Dreamtime Story. 70% of school students are Indigenous, with many living in remote areas and with strong links to their traditional culture and law, L-O-R-E. So tell us about your delivery in regard as an educator there, sister.
Well, as my role as an Aboriginal Education Officer, I've been a mentor for staff and families, sharing my cultural knowledge, talking about cultural protocols, cultural etiquette, implementing culture into the school curriculum, working alongside teachers with planning, that sort of thing, work across the board with families, support agencies, therapists, to meet the needs of our students' health and well-being, their education. Sometimes that might involve a little bit of nurturing, assisting with, appointments for therapy, et cetera.
And for doing it for so long, I feel as though there's the passion in what you do, my sis.
Oh, absolutely, especially with special needs. I love working in special needs. It's very rewarding. It has its challenges, but with empathy and understanding, it's a very rewarding job. And, to see our children with special needs, a small achievement to them is a massive achievement.
And
we see those little hurdles being jumped or achieved. It's just, mind-blowing to see our kids advance that far.
Yes, for sure. And also talking about students, I mean, we're talking about a multicultural country we live in, so we're talking about people from all across the globe, and if not our First Nation students as such. I mean, the education, front and centre, there it is, and telling our story and our connection to land and to culture, sister.
Yes, absolutely. We do have, probably about another different five different nationalities in the school other than the Aboriginal and the European. But, we've got Sudanese, Asian, but it sort of varies across the board. But majority of our students at Acacia Hill, so I think we're about 75% Indigenous.
Yes. And you're finding, the schools you worked at, principals are open to the conversation, to the educational information, the tool that you're using, yes?
Oh, absolutely, especially the principal I work with now. She's very passionate about the Aboriginal culture. She's worked out on communities for many years, so she's got a great understanding of our culture as well, and has a lot of empathy and understanding about our issues and our good things and bad things in our culture, so she's been there, lived amongst it.
Good.
She's very passionate about it.
And look, and that helps. You know, when we're talking about 21st century, and we're talking about a culturally centered curriculum as such, it's a must this day and age, and it should have been years ago. And it's great that principals are opening up to that conversation, to allowing it to happen.
Absolutely, and I think with people, you know, like myself in these positions with strong voices to speak up for our Aboriginal families and children, you know, having strong voices in the school system certainly does assist with that.
Exactly. So with the award, what happens with the award? What did you win, or where from here, sister?
It was announced on World Teachers Day, so I've sort of had a good feeling that I was going to win the Central Region Award, but then which I did, and then walking back from receiving that, it was announced that I won the overall NT for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Indigenous Educator of the Year. So,
big note yourself. You're just too deadly.
Yeah, oh, look, I'll tell you, the tears flowed.
You're too deadly.
I was just so excited and just absolutely blown away.
Yeah.
You know, I was surprised. I'm absolutely, totally grateful for the acknowledgement of my many years of hard work and very honoured to actually receive both awards.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, you love what you're doing. I can hear it in your voice, my sister. Congratulations once again. Keep doing what you're doing, and an inspiration to a lot of our black teachers out there, you know, that they can add culture to their education as educators.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you very, very much.
Cheryl, you take care. Keep smiling, sis. We'll yarn soon.
No worries, brother. Thank you very much.
Bye, darling.
Bye.
There it is, beautiful yarn. Cheryl Edwards, her name is, Arendti educator, and she was recognised for service with prestigious award, overall award, as well as a central award. And she's been at Acacia School for 15 years and now working with Bradshaw School, I believe, so doing a fantastic job. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Oh, Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to the NERS National Digital Radio Service. I'm going to catch up with Deadly Lad now, businessman Adam Williams, Deadly Brother, and Supply Oz, he's the CEO of, and they're honoured with a prestigious award. On the line, Adam, good morning. How are you, bro?
Good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm very good. Congratulations. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, bro?
Yeah, I'm a Wongipurran fella from Central West New South Wales and reside here now on Quandamooka country. Very privileged to be so here and run our business up here.
Fantastic. All right, so tell us about your award. Congratulations there. First of all, before you do that, tell us about Supply Oz. What do you guys do and how it all came about, brother?
Yeah, Supply Oz, we came together after four of us business fellows, entrepreneurs, attended the Murra Business School in Melbourne. Dion, Sean, Jolene and myself, we wanted to come together and form a business that would change the paradigm on how we're viewed in the marketplace as Aboriginal business people, you know, how we conduct ourselves and the fact that we can compete. We want to stay 100% Aboriginal-owned as well. We don't need to JV with other mobs to be able to achieve, and we wanted to sort of drive that path that, you know, we can get products in Woolworths, we can sell to Tier 1s, we can do whatever we put our mind to it, and we can do it ourselves.
Yeah, fantastic, brother. And, like, focus in on business and focus in on, structure and running business, looking after your products, what have you. But not looking at any awards, what have you, but it's good to get recognised, and that's another marketing arm, you could say, another string to the bow.
Yeah, definitely. It was a surprise, I must admit. It wasn't. It's not something we planned for. We don't go, you know, into business to win awards. But
I want to make money.
you train and play hard all year. It's always good to get some recognition, right? Yeah. The big note at. So, and for us, it's also good back for the community. Everything we do has community at heart. Doesn't matter, every decision we make in our business, everything we spend money on, every action we have has a reaction back into our community. So with any luck, there's someone out there wanting to start a business and they say, we're better than them fellas, we'll clean up on that award next year, and I hope they do.
Yeah, that's right. It empowers other brothers and sisters in business. The old phrase, high tide rises all ships, and getting it together, leading from the front, brother. And don't mind, but looking over your shoulder, it's all good, and reaching out for other brothers and sisters coming forward in the business world. We're just business people. We happen to be black, brother.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, everyone that stands in the queue at the bank, all the money in their hands, the same colour.
That's so, it, exactly.
We all got to get out there, yeah?
Yeah, fantastic, brother. And so with this award, what happens there? What was the gift as such, or where do you go from there, brother?
I think it'll expose us a little more through procurement parts of Queensland government, and probably reassure some of them that dealing with Murray businesses are not that risky. That,
yes.
You know, that they can deal with us with confidence, that we're not going to let them down, that we're here to play and we're here to win as well.
And I suppose in all your literature and your web page and things like that, you advertise the fact that you won this prestigious award. It's a marketing tool, isn't it? It adds, like I said, a string to the bow.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got to be proud when we win this stuff.
Exactly.
We've got to be proud to tell everyone, you know, that that these awards actually mean something with the recognition, and you know, it lets people know what we're going to do next, so we can start to follow up with this stuff, eh, and try and get better each day.
Fantastic. So your office, Supply Oz, office is based where exactly, brother?
We're in Cleveland, in Quandamooka country here in southeast Queensland.
Yep.
We've got representatives in Melbourne, Perth, and New South Wales as well. So we cover the whole country, but we call Queensland home.
All right. So you got like a mini franchise there happening, brother?
Yeah. We got people all over the place, you know. It's like herding cats trying to get mob together around the country, but we're getting there.
Well, it's because of COVID-19. I think we're doing very deadly with Zoom conferences. So, you know, there it is, brother. Go figure.
Yeah, Yeah, I think every auntie's been on a Zoom conference. I've been on too, because every time I think I'm nice and quiet, they'll pop in and want to know who I'm talking to. So yeah, they've met nearly every customer of mine too.
That is too deadly, my brother. Listen, congratulations, Adam, to you and your deadly team there. Supply Oz is up and running. It's out there. So Google it, check it out, your mob, and we'll be in touch, my brother. You take care, Adam.
All right, you right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yarn there. Adam Williams, he's the CEO of Supply Oz and also the recipient of a prestigious award. That's By Queensland Supplier Award for 2021. And it's great to see black people in business getting recognised and doing successful in business. And his message there, Adam, is the message is to anybody out there, everybody out there, that black people are at the table, they're in business and they can deliver the goods. So look at a black business and do a JV, joint venture, join in. Too deadly. Have your say, yarn up strong, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I'm driving out to home to see my family, and I'm wondering if this old car will make it gradually. Dust and the heat is really killing me. Haven't been up this way in years. There's a sign saying we're close, and with my time I'll make the most and spend my time with my family. We'll go out where we should be. I listen to my grandfather's stories. I won't be in a hurry. Spend my time with my family.
Joe paint the town. The weekend's here, yeah, finally the working week's done. Gonna let our head down and take it all out tonight, tonight, tonight. We're breaking loose, yeah, we're gonna have some fun. 'Cause we're hot divas, let loose on the town. Hot divas, we like to break it down. Hot divas, we love to rock and roll. Party, party, hot all night long. On the streets and the nightlife has come alive. Groups and a hot looking guy. We're standing firm, got an ease, akimbo, just an attitude. We're looking cool, mean, hot, sexy, yeah, we're hanging tall. 'Cause we're hot divas, let loose on the town. Hot divas, we like to break it down. Hot divas, we love to rock and roll.
Mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the news, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Upstrong, 1-800-422-416. Now, here in Australia's First Nations Services units are working to improve the hearing health of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. We're going to catch up a yarn now and have a yarn with Shirley McManus, Aboriginal Community Engagement Officer in New South Wales. Shirley, a very good morning. How are you?
Very good morning to you, Trevor. I'm doing well. Good. Quite deadly down here in Wanneroo country in New South Wales.
Beautiful, deadly country. And thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, sister.
I'm Wiradjuri from Nevatire in New South Wales, Central West New South Wales.
All right, fantastic. So you're in the home of the Knights and go the Knights.
Yeah, go the Knights. Well, don't know how good we'll do next year, but you know, we'll keep going.
Yeah, well, you got Dane Gagoy going back there, so that's a good call.
Oh yeah, that's a real good call.
Yeah, we're talking about that. Exactly, we're talking about their beautiful children looking after their hearing. Here in Australia, has established First Nations Service Unit to better meet the hearing health needs of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and families. So tell us where we're at and what needs to be done, and tell us the work that we need to be doing to look after our First Nation children.
So where we're at is we've just established the First Nations Unit, and the idea of the First Nations Unit is to bring together the Hearing Australia pathways that we have for outreach services in community. So we have the Hearing Assessment Program for Early Ears, which is HAPI.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our Community Service Obligation Program, which is CSO, and then we have a new program beginning next year called Listen to Learn. So between these three programs, we can cover everything people in our mob, in our communities need mm-hmm. from birth until forever. So we can go from our bubs to our elders, and we can, the idea of the HAPI program and Listen to Learn is to get out into health services and into schools to help educate community, whether it be the parents, the early yes. educators, the health workers, on how to identify hearing concerns with the children and give them skills that they need to be able to manage and offer them strategies to help the families cope with possible hearing concerns.
Well, exactly.
And then we need to get out there and do diagnostic assessments on these kids. So we need the parents and carers to bring the kids into the AMSs so we can do those appointments.
And look, I'm just going to say, as innocent as our children are, sometimes we would look at the child, whether it be a teacher or even the parents, and think, this child is ignoring me or arrogant or, you know, just being naughty, but they've got a hearing problem. And, you know, and that's why these services, you know, is called for.
Oh, absolutely, especially when the referral rates are coming in at 1 in 3. But
yes.
1 in 3 of our mob's kids that we test have something going on with their ears. There is definitely a problem out there that we need to fix, and these programs are going to help address it.
Yeah.
Not only doing the assessments and the diagnostic assessments that will help this, but it's educating community on what to look for and giving them strategies on how to manage it themselves before medical intervention is required.
Sure.
Yeah.
What are some of the things we need to look for? If you've got if we as parents are yarning with their kids and something's not right here, what are we looking for?
Well, otitis media is silent, so that makes it quite tricky for people to
yeah.
identify. But if you can stick your fingers in your ears and talk, you'll notice that everything sounds quite distant and muffled, but your own voice is quite strong. So when our little kiddies are having problems with their ears, quite often their voice will drop, they'll talk softer, but they won't be hearing you better. The volume on the TV will go up louder, or when they're using some sort of digital technology, the volume will be quite loud,
yeah.
But their own voice will be softer. There might be a discharge coming from their nose. There may be a discharge coming from their ears. Mm. They may be a lot more fatigued than normal. They might be a bit pale. They might be off their food. They definitely won't be hearing you properly. But there's not normally any temperature, so rarely will children identify with a temperature or a fever when they've got otitis media, which is what makes it real tricky to diagnose. As a parent, you know, every time my kids told me they didn't feel well, first thing I did was took their temperature.
Yeah, sure.
But with otitis media, they don't have one.
Okay, there it is. And so when the old phrase, it takes a community to raise a child, so this sort of information, is it put through the curriculum, schools and teachers and in that space?
It's starting to get out there. A lot of the preschools are starting to use the freeze blow cough program, which we fully support.
Okay.
And that's teaching the kids to blow their nose properly, to cough, to help clear the eustachian tubes, and to crunch on fruit because that crunching motion will help open and close the eustachian tubes, which helps
okay.
move fluid that's in the eardrum.
Mm-hmm.
So the schools are starting to do that, and you know, we're getting out there. It's something that is just, we're just beginning to realise the significance of otitis media and what it can do.
Mm.
And we're trying to make sure that our MOPS kids can actually have the full ability of learning by being able to hear properly once they start school. Because if they can't hear properly at school, they can't get the education they need to go on and have a good quality life for themselves.
Exactly. And the hearing assessment program, HAPI, I mean, is a beautiful statement, you know, beautiful acronym. And, you know, keeping that mob smiling, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I love telling people I work for the HAPI. It's great. we're in over 285 communities
yes.
Around the country. And it's growing. It's
beautiful.
Growing. There's over 70 people working in the First Nations unit. But on top of that, we also have over 100 audiologists that work with us to make sure these testing and training happens. So
well,
there's quite a few people in the organisation around the country making sure we get this done.
Beautiful. And big shout out to the team and the amount of people who are working in the space. Fantastic. And look, they are our future. We need to look after them. And we're talking about getting a strong foundation for their future. The foundation, of course, is hearing and getting educated and yeah, helps them with their movement into the future, sister.
That's absolutely right. And if anyone wants any more information about it, they can drop us an email at happy@hearing.com.au. So it's HAPEE at hearing.com.au. Or they can jump on the Hearing Australia website and they'll find all the links they need to get to where they reach for the HAPI program or for anything else they need to know about the hearing health.
Shirley, love your work. Thank you so very much for sharing, my sister. All the best to your mob there, family, and the team there. And go the night, sister.
Go the night. Thanks, Trevor. You have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Shirley McManus, her name is, Aboriginal Community Engagement Officer in New South Wales, here in Australia, and their First Nations Services unit is working to improve the hearing health of Aboriginal and Torres Strait children. And look, it is about looking after the young ones there. Be alert, be aware, have your eyes and ears open as parents and as teachers, what have you, and keep a focus on what the kids are saying or what they're doing. They've got TV up loud or their social media stuff up loud, you know, their icons. So look at it and then address it. That's what we need to do. Have your say and yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.